Anyways, Mark Hughes, alcoholic. And my sobriety date is December 20th, 1998. And that's simply because I got into the Buckingham group where they really believe in the steps. And I'm a sponsor who I listen to and kind of gave up hope. And good way to come to AA. And I've been around a little while. Billy skipped it last time I was up here. He didn't want to listen to me, I guess, about 2 years ago. He had some lame excuse why I wasn't here. And last time I went to conference with Billy, I think it was Don Major. We sat in a Waffle House for like 3 days and ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner in there. So I know you're on this big health kick, you know, but I remember greasy burgers and fries for 3 days straight. And I just moved to Richmond. I go to a lot of meetings in Richmond, and the more I'm around AA, the more I find people just really don't know what alcoholism is. You know, because every now and then I go to these meetings and people are like, oh, they slept, and you know, this guy was 16 years sober, and he suddenly disappeared. And I don't believe people suddenly disappear. I believe that you kind of know they're on their way out long before they take that drink. And I work with a lot of newcomers in Richmond, and the biggest problem you have is convincing people whether they're alcoholic or not. Because no one really wants to be an alcoholic, you know. So you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, you know, you got cancer, but if you go to these 4 meetings a week, get a sponsor, and do these steps, you're going to be cured. You know, you're going to do it. But if you go, you know, you have someone come to you, like, look, you're an alcoholic, you go to 4 meetings a week, do these steps, and you're going to get better, they're going to be like, no, screw you, it's not your business. You know, I'm not that bad yet, and, you know, I really don't want to do these steps. And that's because alcoholism is the only illness that says I don't have it. You know, my life is getting better, I'm hurting people around me, and I'm sitting in the middle of it all going, I'm just fine. I'm not that bad yet, it's just a stretch of bad luck, you know what, it's going to turn around down the road. And I can't really be alcoholic because of, you know, all these reasons that I have. And the problem is, as I believe this, I'm getting worse. You know, the people around me can see it, and I just don't listen to them. And, you know, it's a shame because, you know, no one can tell me I'm alcoholic but myself. You know, ever since I've been like 15 years old, people told me I had a problem with drinking. You know, it's nothing new when people said, you drink too much. I'm like, yeah, well, okay. You know, what's your point? You know, let's move on to the next thing. And the ability of the bottom line was I never really truly believed I was alcoholic. You know, 'cause I grew up in Jersey and you go to New York City, you got bums living on the street and drink out brown paper bags. I'm like, that's an alcoholic. If I ever get that bag, maybe I'll do something about it. You know, but I'm too young to be an alcoholic. If I want to, I can really quit. You know, my dad was in Vietnam, a big believer that if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want to. And he said to me, if you put your mind to it, you can do anything you want. And so I believe, you know, if I really wanted to quit drinking, I could. And that was always in the back of my mind. The problem was I never really wanted to quit drinking. You know, give me a couple days off, a week, let the heat get off me, and I just want to go back to my old ways. I never really wanted to quit drinking for a long time. And I'm not one of these people, I don't remember my first drunk or my last drunk, because I'm a blackout drinker. You know, there's 3 times I can't remember which one's first. I got too many brain cells that are kind of burnt, and I can't remember what happened first, but they're all pretty much the same. I got drunk, I blacked out, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I've never had a problem with blacking out. Like, I talked to a friend of mine every now and then, and I asked her, I'm like, how many times did you black out? She's like, once. I'm like, really? I'm like, well, what happened? She's like, I got so scared to death, I never drank that much again. I'm like, well, that's weird. You know, I start blacking out, and it really doesn't faze me. Sometimes it's kind of fun to see what happened the night before, and I just keep doing it. And I've always been a blackout drinker. I thought that was normal for people to drink that way. And, you know, then I find out that, you know, that's a normal reaction. You black out once, and you don't do it again. But, you know, I never realized I was alcoholic either. And I started drinking, but when I got drunk, I blacked out. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I felt like I fit in. I felt apart of things. All my problems seemed to go away. My mind just got quiet for a little while. And I wasn't, you know, uptight or anxious around people. I'm like, this is great. You know, my high school career revolved around where are we drinking tonight? Who's got the booze? You know, and it wasn't like, you know, let's prepare for college. You know, I teach high school now, and they like, you know, they want getting their college resumes ready, and this is what we got to do to look good. I'm like, I never even thought about that. You know, I'm like, I just wanted to drink and get by. And you know, somehow I went to college, and my alcoholic mind does not go to college for a degree. You know, my alcoholic mind is I'm away from my parents so I can drink the way I want to. And really where I went to college, I really didn't care. But, you know, alcoholics are not dumb people. We're just kind of lazy, make bad choices around alcohol. But I had decent enough grades. I got into decent enough college. You know, my first semester, I went to, you know, it's 8:30 in the morning. Classes aren't good for alcoholics, and I just don't make them very often. So I got in a lot of trouble with my drinking. You know, I'm just there to drink until the, you know, the dean comes in, he's like, you know, this is bad, you know, we're going to put you on probation, you really got to straighten up. I'm like, all right. You know, it's like, so I come up with a plant. I don't know about you, but I love plants. Because, you know, our book says, you know, frothy emotional appeal doesn't work too well, but I like it. You know, you get a little pep talk from somebody, they pat you on the back, you feel good about yourself. I'm like, it's going to work this time. I know it. And so that second semester, I'm like, it's going to work this time. I got excited, and for about 3 days, I went to class. Now, the fourth day, I'm like, this isn't a whole lot of fun, you know. And yeah, it's a party or, you know, class at 7:30 at night. I'm going to the party. And, you know, that's a big difference between my brother. My brother, you know, he went to school too, and he got like a 1.9 first semester. I'm like, he got worse than I did, you know. I at least got a, you know, like a 2.2. You know, but he got the same speech, and I got the same speech. The difference between him and I is he took it to heart. He's not an alcoholic. You know, he straightened up, realized I should just party on weekends, and he graduated with a 3.5 average. I got that speech every week, you know, for the rest of 4 years. You know, it doesn't faze me. You know, in college I got defined, grew my hair long, got an earring, did my hippie thing, listened to Grateful Dead, and, you know, that's not good in my family. My dad's just, you know, the military guy, and I'd come home, he'd be like, oh, my other daughter's home, you know. And he really didn't want me home, but I'm like, fine, I'll stay in Philly. And he's like, you shouldn't stay in Philly either, because he knew I was getting kind of bad, so I left on my own in Philly. It's just not a good idea. And so I come home, and, you know, my whole thing revolves around drinking. You know, my jobs I got during the summer, I got jobs because the boss started drinking at 7:30 in the morning. You know, I don't think this is a problem. My alcoholic brain says, what else do you do when you're 20 years old? I can work all day long. I work 7 in the morning to 7 at night. You know, we used to put in fences and do landscaping. I worked most people on a table back in those days, and yet I'm getting, you know, I'm drinking as I go. And I got my boss there, Raj, we called him. He's 65 years old. He's working like crazy. He drinks about a case and a half a day. And these are the people I hang out with. I'm like, this isn't that bad. You know, what's the problem here? You know, then you drive the family car home, and you get home, you can barely walk at 7:30 at night, and the parents are like, why are you driving a car in the trunk like this? And, you know, you get the speech. You feel guilty for a little bit, and then you go out drinking again. And all the time I'm sitting there going, my brain's saying, I'm not that bad. This is normal. This is what all teenagers and people in their 20s are doing. You know, it didn't seem to faze me. And I honestly believe this is how people drink. I go back to school, and I go back early because I don't like being around my parents because they don't like me drinking. And the first week back, I get written up from the dorms for drinking. You know, you're not supposed to drink in the dorm rooms. I got caught like 10 times in a night. That's happy to be back, partying with my friends. And so I go see the dean. He's ready to kick me out of school. And that doesn't happen in my family. We just don't get kicked out. You know, I'm always able to kind of passive-aggressive person. I'll do it behind your back, not right to your face, and not get caught for a whole lot. And so I'm like, I don't know what happens to you, but when I'm under pressure, I need to go drink about it and come up with a solution. So I go to the bar, I get drunk, blackout, wake up in jail. I suppose even in jail, I call my mom in a blackout, cursed her out for some reason. And I didn't know any of this. It gets told me later on. My dad called me a couple of days later, and he's like, look, we don't want you coming home anytime soon. Don't call us, we'll call you. I'll come down because I'll make up some story for the dean because we don't want you home right now. And I feel bad about that, you know, because I sober up, I feel guilty, you know, I'm not happy I've been putting my parents through all this stuff, and my mom crying, you know, I feel bad about it. You know, 24 hours later, I'm sitting there going, it's not that bad. I don't have to stay sober on Sundays to call them anymore. You know, because you had to call them at 4 in the afternoon, it was football, so you had to stay somewhat coherent, because I talk fast already, and I get drunk, I slur like crazy, and like, I don't have to call them anymore. I don't go home for Easter anymore. I'm going to Queens with my buddy around New York. And all that guilt and shame I felt just goes away in 24, 48 hours. Because I could always justify why it's not that bad my whole life. Give me 24, 48 hours, and I can tell you why it's not my fault anymore. It's your fault, my parents' fault, girlfriends, whatever it is. It's not mine. And so I stayed there. The best thing those two things did for me is they sent me to a lot of alcohol in classes. You know, get in trouble. They send one for the... I missed the county border by 2 feet. I passed out right before the county border, so they couldn't kick me out of school because they didn't know about one and the other. But they sent me to a lot of, like, counseling classes. You know, I'd go and they'd tell me, you know, you're an alcoholic because this heroin-like substance released in your brain. You know, only alcoholics have that. I'm like, great information. Now I know I'm an alcoholic. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of these... I like going to the bars at 2 o'clock in the afternoon watching soap operas. 2 o'clock in the afternoon during commercial, I lean over to this buddy of mine. He's like, you know, 52-year-old homeless guy. I'm like, hey, you want an alcoholic? I got this heroin-like substance released in my brain, so it's not really my fault. He's like, yeah, you know. And, you know, then this other class was, I want you to check mark how many days you have, how many days you drink out of the year. I'm like, that's great. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I got those four. Christmas, St. Patrick's Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve. You know, like, drinking all those days. You know, I start checking them off. And I'm like, add them up. I'm like, all right, add mine up. And they're like, you know, if you have 0 to 20 days, it's probably a normal drinker. And I forget how the exact days are. I kind of make them up now. And they're like, 20 to 40, you have some type of problem. You know, 40 to 50, or probably alcoholic or something like that. I'm like, I got 230. I'm like, I asked my buddy who got caught too. I'm like, how many of you guys? He's like, I had 315. And I was pissed. And I'm like, no, I got to have more than you. You know, like, let me go back and recount here, you know. Because it didn't faze me, you know. People tell me I drink too much. I'm like, you know what, who cares? You know, when I started drinking, you know, people don't quite understand. My parents don't understand it. You know, we're going to see my parents in New Jersey right after this. And we'll go to a lot of meetings while we're up there. And they'll look at me like, why do you go to so many meetings still? And you've been sober a while. I'm like, well, yeah, but I always go to 4 meetings a week because, you know, I'm happier when I go to meetings. I'm like, why do you guys go to church so much? You know, the diehard Catholic, you go to the same church, you go 4 times a week. You know, why do you go to church so much? Like, because we feel better. I'm like, well, it's the same thing. You know, they don't understand it, you know. They don't understand that my biggest problem is not really drinking. You know, and that threw me for a loop. I thought, you know, I quit drinking, you know, when I want to, and that's all I got to do. And every now and then in college, I quit drinking. I'd be like, you know, 24 hours sober, sometimes 15. I'm like, man, this sucks. You know, why do you want to be sober? I just start thinking. I look around. I'm like, these people don't like me. I got all these secrets racing through my head. I get anxious. I get tight. And I'm like, man, what do you do when you're sober? This just sucks. Like, this is stupid. Why am I staying sober again? I go get drunk, you know, and I could always justify going out drinking. And then once I started drinking, I was off to the races because I love being drunk, you know. You know, it's like we'll go up to my family's house, and they're easy examples to use. I'm the only alcoholic in my family. I think we have a cousin we're not sure about yet, but we'll see. Yeah, but we'll go out, and it's hilarious. We'll go out to a restaurant. My dad will wear a Chevis and water. He loves Chevis and water. And he takes about 30, 40 minutes to drink it. You know, unless the ice melt, be this much left. He's like, I don't want the rest. You know, and then you won't have anything with dinner. And then on the way out the door, he hands me the keys. I'm like, why give me the keys? He's like, well, I had a drink. I don't want to drive. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You know, like, if I'm going to drive, at least do a couple shots. You know, let's make it worth your while. You know, but he's a normal drinker. You know, that's the way they drink. I've never drank that way. You know, it's like I used to go out to dinner with them and I have a beer. And I debated because I knew I had to keep pace with my dad because if I drank more than he did, he'd say something to me. And it's terrible, you know, having one beer for a half hour. I'm like, this sucks. And half time I wouldn't even order a drink because it just takes too long. I'm like, why waste my time? As soon as they're gone, I'm staying at the bar and I'll walk home. I'll just sit here and get as much as I want. But why do I want to hear, you know, it's a free beer, which is nice. But I'm like, man, it ain't worth the price. Because I knew as soon as I started drinking, I was off the races. And for 4 years, that's all I did. I just drank beer and did about anything I'd get my hands on. And every now and then, I try to quit drinking. I switched to O'Doul's. And that'd last like a night or two. And my friends would look at me. They'd all be entertained. Like, oh, you're doing O'Doul's again? I'm like, yeah, I'm on the wagon. You know, and I'd look around all these people after about 3 hours of drinking O'Doul's and be like, why am I doing this again? This is stupid. And I go get drunk, you know. It never lasted. But I had all these nice plans to do it. And after college, I figured I deserved a break because I worked 4 long years to graduate college. And so I went back to my fencing and landscaping buddies. And my dad's like, you know, that's not a bad thing. You know, if you want to do that and start your own career, that's great. But why'd I pay for you to go 4 years of college if that's what you're going to do? I'm like, don't know, Dad. Good question. You know? And that's when I started avoiding my parents more often at home. You kind of stay out later and come home, shower quick, and leave. And after about 8 months of that, moved to Virginia. And the only reason I moved to Virginia, there was a job down here. It was 5 days a week, 24 hours a day in the woods. I was working with kids. Because I'm not a suit and tie guy. I don't like suit and ties. Wearing for AA, but not too much else. And, you know, I didn't want to work in business. I really didn't know what I wanted to do other than get out of New Jersey. Get enough lectures from mom and dad, and you live with them every day. It gets old after a while. Especially me, I got drunk, passed out, and I went to bed half the time. You know, the mom wakes you up at 7:30 in the morning because you're passed out. You don't hear the alarm clock, and you wake up, and you have to explain why the bed's wet half the days of the week. It gets old. You know, it's just not a lot of fun. And yet I sit there and go, I don't have a problem. And so I came to Virginia. For 5 days a week, 24 hours a day, I'm sober. And, you know, and we had off work Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I lived in Farmville, Virginia. And I still remember, I could drive home, even the nearest gas station was, you pick up a little six-pack or four-pack of Jack Daniels and like a six-pack of beer. And by 10:30 to 12, you put the four-pack down, the six-pack of beer, you pass out, you wake up about 6, 7 o'clock at night, and you go out and get drunk again. You got like three or four good drunks in on a weekend, you know, because, you know, my life revolved around alcohol. And I didn't think that was a problem, you know. It's like the more I'm sober, right, most people don't even drink the amount I did like in the lifetime I did in a year, you know. And it's like my whole weekend involved, where are we drinking tonight? Who am I drinking with? And if you guys aren't drinking, I'm not hanging out with you. You know, so all the guys I work with, they're going hiking, canoeing, kayaking, barbecue, and I'm like, all right, let's bring the case of beer with us. You know, because everything I do, I'm drinking. And every now and then I get in trouble, I have blackout in my mouth. You know, blackout causes problems. It's a small group of people, so word gets around. And I get in trouble, and they start sending me up the ladder, you know, the people I work with. You know, who do I get the speech from this week? And after a while, I got high enough that it turned out to be my sponsor, but he was my boss for a few years. And we talk about drinking. He's like, you know, you black out. I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you get excited about drinking? I'm like, yeah, definitely. You know, I know when I'm, you know, on Thursday night when I'm working, I know I'm getting off Friday, and I can't wait to go get drunk. I get excited about, you know, thinking about who's going to be there, where the keg is, how much we're getting. If I'm going to get a bottle of something else along the way. And he's like, you ever stay sober for long periods of time? I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you like it? I'm like, not really. He's like, yeah, me neither. And I started thinking, you know, he's sober, I'm drunk, and we're talking, and he understands me. And I'm like, but hey, he's 45. You know, 45, maybe I'll quit drinking too. So it doesn't faze me. The problem with where I work is, you know, I was pretty good at it. You know, we're alcoholics, we're good workers. We just make bad choices with alcohol. And so I was good. When I was at work, I got my stuff done. So I got promoted. And what that means, I get to go home at night. So now I'm getting home about 10 o'clock at night. And 10 o'clock at night, I'm sitting there, this is great. I'll go to the bar, and I got a plan. I'm not going to get drunk because I got to go to work by 6:30 the next morning. But, you know, from 10 o'clock, I can have a six-pack. You know, good plan. You get home by 12 o'clock then, you know, sounds good. Get 6.5 hours of pass-out time. Wake up at 6:30 and go to work. It works out pretty well. I live with a drinking buddy of mine, and we had, like, old radiators in the house. Whoever got first kind of banged on the other one to wake the other person up. I'm like, this is a good plan. But the problem is I'm an alcoholic. I go to the bar, I don't want six beers. I go to the bar, get six beers, I talk to my bartender, I'm like, he's going to get lonely if I leave. Yeah. My bartender's like, there's only four Sierra Nevadas left. You want those, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I'll stay for four more. You know. And I go, I'm not real tired. You know, it's like, because you know, normal drinkers, I think they start getting a buzz, they get tired, but I get more energy, and I, you know, I get happy feeling, and go around and do things, and I get drunk and dial and stuff. I get more excited. I don't want to quit drinking, so I'm there till 2:30 in the morning because I know the bartender, I can stay till 3. And so I get home at 3 o'clock, I pass out for about 3.5 hours, and I go to work, I'm half drunk still. And you know, people start smelling me, and you stink of booze, but I smoked cigarettes back then, so I cover it up a little bit. And I kept a toothbrush at work and cologne at work because I learned the tricks of the trade, and I'm sitting there going, this is not a big deal. So I still go to work every day, I get my stuff done. What's the problem? You know? And I do that for a while, and they promote me again because I'm pretty good at what I do, and it doesn't mean anything, it just means I get to go home a little bit earlier. And so I just keep my, you know, it's not like I'm cutting back on my drinking, I'm getting worse and worse. And every now and then I show up to work and I can't really walk a straight line too well, and you start going, what's wrong with you? Like, oh man, just not feeling real well. Sick. Or we were big into getting people honest, and you're like, you're under a lot of pressure. I'm like, I'm under a lot of pressure from work, that's why I'm getting drunk. You know, and they buy that stuff. You know, I know it's a bunch of crap, but they buy. If they get me off my back, I'll tell them anything they want. You know, I'm like, I'm under a lot of pressure at work, so I got drunk last night, you know. And they start to, you know, harass me about my drink. And so, all right, I got a new plan. You know, a new plan. I got, you know, Not last time getting off work at 6 o'clock because I got promoted again. I'm like, I get off work at 6, I just start drinking shots and pitchers of beer. I can pass out by 10. Now, I'm not drinking any less. My goal is to pass out earlier. If I pass out by 10, I got 8 hours of recovery time. You know, I'm like, this makes sense to me. I'm like, this is a great idea. You know, imagine telling us like a non-alcoholic says, I got this great plan. I'm going to get drunk at 6 now instead of 10. You know, and that's the problem. These plans make sense to me. But the problem is I'm alcoholic. And once I start drinking, you know, I don't stop. So I start drinking at 6, and by the time this time I get there, you know, they know me, they have 2 shots of Goldschlager and a pitcher of beer, and I put that down about 45 minutes, and I do shots of beer all night long. I black out. Half the time they drove me home, half the time I walked home, half the time I don't know how I got home. But I'm not getting home at 10, you know. Sometimes they kick me, you know, they kind of push me out the door at 11, so, you know, it's time to go home. Other times I have no clue. And, you know, at this point, my life's getting worse at work. You know, I can't stop drinking, and it's getting out of hand. I'm getting in more trouble at work. And, you know, my sponsor, who was my boss at the time, you know, he went and started his own place. He said, give me a call when you're ready. I'm like, all right. I mean, he knew I wasn't ready. I wasn't done drinking yet, because I sat there, and back of my head was, if I really want to stop drinking, I can. But I'm not done yet, and it's really none of these people's business. I'm good at my job. I show up, I do my job, I get things done. If these people just left me alone, what's the big deal? You know, but 3 weeks later, you know, it kind of changed on that. Well, last night I got drunk. I'll tell you bits and pieces. I don't remember. My buddy was leaving. He was, you know, leaving the school. I worked with about 5-6 years, a good friend of mine. And I don't know what you guys do, normal people do, but when someone I know is leaving for a party, we start drinking at 10 in the morning. You know, what else are you going to do when someone's leaving? And we started drinking at 10. I black out about 2. And I were bits and pieces from 3 to 5. Black out about 5:30. Remember a little bit about 11. And, you know, next thing I know, it's the next morning. And I thought I was one of my better behaved drunks. I didn't curse anybody out. Didn't start a fight. I didn't drive. I didn't get kicked out of a bar. I had a credit card with me, so I paid for my own drinks. I'm like, this is one of my better behaved drunks, you know. I didn't think it was a big deal. And, you know, the next day going to work, and a good buddy of mine's like, dude, I'm tired of working with you. And you're drunk all the time. You're supposed to be a role model around here. You're in charge of half the campus here. You're not doing anything that's productive. You know, I'm just sick of this. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's not the best speech I've heard. You know, I've heard lots of speeches. I've had mom and dad crying. You know, I've heard, I got great speeches. You know, if someone needs one, I can write it down for you. You know, I got good ones. And, but what happened was for the last year, off and on, I tried to quit drinking. Because my last year wasn't fun. You know, my last year of drinking, I go to the bar and say, I want to black out as fast as I can. There wasn't, let's go to the bar, socialize, party, and have fun with us. I'm sitting in the corner, I'm getting drunk by myself. My only goal of drinking was to stop my mind from thinking. That's the only reason I wanted to drink. And every now and then, I have a good drunk, I'd be with people, and we'd have a good time. The other times, people came around me, I just kind of got mad at them, and you know, I'd fire them when I was drunk, and it was just a mess. And it really wasn't fun. And so I come up with plans to quit drinking. Or at least control it, tone it down a bit, you know. And I'd be like, I'm just going to drink wine. So I drank red wine for a while. You know, that just made me thirsty after a while. And then I'd stay away from the Goldschlagers. I figured that was making me mean, so I'd switch to something else. I'd just drink beer. Or, you know, I'll work weekends, because that's the problem. You know, I'm off Tuesday and Wednesday during the week, and you know, the bars are open Tuesday and Wednesday during the week. You know, I go to church. And, you know, I tried all these different things to kind of control my drinking, but I stayed sober about 24 hours, and I'd be like, man, this sucks. You know, for 24 hours, I'd be like, this is boring. This sucks. I think too much. I don't feel good. I get angry, annoyed. I get depressed. I have this big pity party. I'm like, man, I just drink and forget about all this. And I go back and start drinking. I didn't know that was alcoholism yet. And so that morning, this guy gave me that big speech, and I was just done. I'm not sure what he said. I was just done. I'm like, you know, I can't do this anymore. The first time in my life, I realized that if I kept drinking, it was going to get worse. I never really believed it was going to get worse. I always believed, you know, 25, I'll grow up when I'm 30 and I'm 70, good time. I never believed it was going to get worse. But I also knew that I had about 24, 48 hours to do something different. So within 24, 48 hours, no matter how bad it ever was, I could justify that next drink. And so within the 24 hours, I called this guy. He said, give me a call when you're ready. I said, I'm ready. He said, good, let's go. And he picked me up and brought me a meeting up in Charlottesville. And don't remember much of it because I was still half drunk. My stomach was terrible. He brought me the Mexican food. Don't bring a new guy to Mexican food. I wouldn't have gone. But he said, are you done? And I knew exactly what he meant. Because, you know, for years people say, you know, do you want to quit drinking? I'm like, yeah, a little bit, you know. I'll cut back, tone back. He's like, are you done? I said, yeah. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, you willing to go to 4 meetings a week and do these steps and, you know, do what we do? I'm like, sure. He's like, good. You know, off we went to there. He started bringing me to 4 meetings a week. You know, I couldn't stand being sober at first. I was eating Tums by the handful. I couldn't sleep at night. You know, I was up till 2, 3 in the morning because I just always stayed up late. And I'd be singing meetings going, man, I'm 25 years old. How can I be an alcoholic? And I look around the room and I have people like, you know, he's 40, 50 years old. I'm like, he's got to be an alcoholic. He's got a cranky old guy. And, you know, this, I'm like, he's, you know, she's been to 8 rehabs. You know, she's got to be alcoholic by now. I'm like, he's got 6 DUIs. I mean, he's bad, you know. I'm like, and I'm sitting there going, I'm not that bad. You know, I never had a DUI. I mean, I drove drunk all over the place. I just never got caught, you know. I never really got fired from a job. I was then about 3 weeks of getting fired, but not yet. You know, and I'd be seeing me going, you know, how can I really be an alcoholic? I mean, this is horrible. But I kept going to meetings, and I tell my sponsor, but I was like, yeah. He's like, wait till you have a drunk dream. You know, you have one of those soon, too. And he's like, let me tell you what the definition of alcoholism is. I really had no idea. He's like, you know. He said, you know, can you honestly control your drinking? I'm like, no. You know, I'm like, I mean, you know, controlled drinking is like 2 beers a night. I'm like, you know, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. You know, why would I have 2 beers a night? It's a waste of time. Never can I do that. You know, maybe about 4 times in my life I've done it. He's like, all right. He's like, can you stop on your own? I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, not for a couple of days. Like, can you stop like a year or two? You know, not miss it. You know, not your life go downhill. I'm like, nah. You know, after like 2 days, I'm dying. He's like, well, you're probably alcoholic. And that's all alcoholism is. You know, you don't need to be a certain age or have a certain amount of DUIs or done this much trouble. And I'm like, you know what? It's been a lot more fun. I've had a better story, though, you know. It could have gone a couple. And, and we started going to 4 meetings a week, sometimes 5. And he brought me to meetings, a place he doesn't go anymore. I think he just knew that, you know, I need to go to meetings a lot right in a row, because if I didn't, I was going to justify why I didn't need to come back. And so we meet meetings almost every night the first week or two, and, you know, we cut down to 4 or 5 a week. You know, what else do you have to do when you're sober? You know, when I was brand new and sober, it's not like I got a bunch of people wanting to hang out, you know. Got my drinking buddies who missed me, my bartender missing me, that was probably putting his kids through college, you know. And, so it's not that many people won't call and knock on my door and say, let's go hang out tonight. You know, so what else do you do? I went to meetings most nights. And half the time I didn't want to go. Half the time I didn't think I needed to go, but I went anyways. Half the time I was sitting in a meeting and I couldn't pay attention more than 10 minutes. Just because I'm just sitting there going, man, I'm sober. Or I'm just like bored. Or, you know, I'm too busy thinking about myself to pay attention to anything that's going on. You know, unless they call me, then I got to say something. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm stupid. And, you know, but I just stuck around. And in about 3 months sober, he's like, when do you want to feel better? I said, now. I said, good, go write your inventory. And when I got sober, everybody wrote their inventory. There wasn't this big debate about whether you did or not. Everybody did it. And so at 3 months, I wrote my inventory. And, you know, it was the first time I actually did something in my life that I felt good about. I shared it with them. I got honest about all my secrets. And for about an hour after that, after I did my inventory, I didn't think about anything. Which is nice, because usually I'm always thinking about, I want to be this person, I want that person, I'm annoyed with this person, I'm not good enough. I'm just thinking all the time. For about an hour and a half, I didn't think. I was just kind of happy to be me and happy to be sober. And I'm like, this thing actually works. And an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I'm thinking about me again. But I got a lot of hope, because that was the first time I actually shared all my secrets and got honest with somebody. And I started making amends to people. You know, and, you know, he just moved me right along. You know, 7, 8 months, I'm making amends to people. I'm going to my boss, and I'm like, look, I've been stealing money from you the last 3 years. You don't know about it. I think this is pretty much what I owe you, and what are we going to do from here? And, you know, they're all nice guys, and so it wasn't a big deal, but I had to make all these amends to people. I had some financial amends to make. I had to make amends to my parents, my family, and, you know, I had a lot of emotional amends. Where I worked as a close group of people. And when you're an alcoholic running rampant, you know, you don't listen to people. You just kind of piss them off. You tell them they're wrong. I'm doing it my way. So I had a lot of these emotional amends to make. Like, look, I've been treating you bad for about a year now because I'm your boss. And, and you got to make amends. They're not a lot of fun, but it makes life a lot easier. And all of a sudden, I'm going to work and I don't have to avoid anybody. And that's been a long time since I didn't have to avoid anybody. Usually, I'm kind of going to work, kind of not sure what I saw last night, not sure what I said, not sure who's still mad at me or not. And so you kind of dodge and weave and kind of work your way around. And now you can just go to work and not worry about it. You know? And all of a sudden, I'm showing up on time. You know, I'm actually showering again. I don't stink, you know. And, you know, I'm just a better employee because I'm sober, you know. And so what they do is they promote me again. They want me to run the program for about a year and a half. And, you know, and they start a group there talking to kids about, you know, alcoholism. And that's not because I'm a great person, but it's because what you people tell me here. I go do it my job. Go be honest with people. Show up on time. Offer to help out. And the kind of things that I knew how to do but could never do it before. And I was over about 4 years, and I just didn't want to do my job. I didn't want to change careers because I didn't want to live in the woods forever. But I was 4 years sober, and I knew I was kind of, I'm a stubborn alcoholic. I'm like, I know if I move too far away, I'm going to go to a meeting and be like, you know what? They don't do it like we do. You know, they don't reach out enough to me, and, you know, they don't say hello to me, and, you know, they probably really don't like me, and, you know, I'm not going back to that meeting. And I knew myself so well that, you know, it's like if I left, I probably just kind of isolate and exclude myself from AA. And if I'm not in AA, I'm going to get drunk. There's no doubt about it. And so I was looking for jobs that were kind of in the area. I didn't know what was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, my sponsor said, you know, we got a job opening. Why don't you go apply for it? And so I worked for my sponsor for about 4 years. And, you know, I was going to college and working with him. And, you know, that's kind of good and bad, you know, because your sponsor will come and be like, hey, are you thinking about yourself today? I'm like, I am now. Thanks. Like, you being honest? I think so. And, you know, I'll be thinking about that all day long. And, you know, granted, you know why you're different? I'm like, no, it's because you are. I'm like, yeah, but I'm still going to 4 or 5 meetings a week. And so I got to hear a lot of good things, and I got the structure down. You know, I got good experience, and I got, you know, my degrees I needed to do for my career. And, you know, all during that time, I had a really good foundation of going to 4 or 5 meetings a week, reaching out to newcomers, practicing the steps. I do, you know, inventory once a year. You know, try to reach out to people. And, you know, you go through the periods you don't want to do it. You don't feel like you need to do it. You go to the meetings. I've heard what these people have to say for the last 5 years. They're not going to say anything new. Why do I have to go? And you go anyways. And, you know, I haven't gone through my defiant stage during the time with my sponsor. I don't know why. I don't like authority. And, you know, I guess he's my boss and my sponsor. He got a double bite. You know, we didn't talk for like 4 months. You know, I did the old lip service. Call him once a week. How you doing? Doing good. Here's my problem. All right. See you later. And I don't know why it happened. You know, I mean, just stubborn alcoholic. And once it happens, I don't want to say I'm wrong for it to happen, so I just kind of let it go. You know, for 4 months, 5 months, we're just doing this. And I don't know why. You know, I've gone through, you know, all types of stuff with my sponsor. It's the same one. You know, I put them on a pedestal. I thought I had better sobriety. I hated them. I liked them. I don't talk to them. I tell them too much. And kind of done it all. And after that 4 months, you know, we kind of, you know, I just kind of went and said I was wrong. We worked it out again. Yeah, but that's what happens. And after about 4 years, I met my lovely wife back there. You heard her speak about 3 weeks ago. And we decided to get engaged and move because, you know, we got a son over there. We want a better education. We want to get out of Dillon or Farmville because, you know, I grew up in Jersey and she grew up in Pittsburgh. And, you know, Farmville and Dillon is kind of a far cry from the city life we're kind of used to. And, so we got engaged and we moved. And we moved and I didn't have a job lined up. You know, we bought a house and it kind of, a string of events kind of happened and it worked out well, but I didn't have a job. And we got a mortgage and, you know, you're moving in, you're engaged and you're thinking about getting a wedding to pay for and all that stuff. You don't have a job. I don't know about you, but I'm a guy. And how much money really tells me how I feel about myself some days, for better or for worse. And I sit there and I don't have a job. I'm like, man, this is horrible. I just get depressed. And some days I don't get out of bed. And my sponsor's like, you're not working. Why don't you go to a meeting every day? And so I go to meetings. And I go to these noon meetings. And I don't know if you've ever been to noon meetings in Richmond. They're goofy. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know where the solution is. But what happens is I know I need to be there. So I just start tracking down the newcomers. And I get their phone numbers. I know if they don't want to hear from me, I start calling one for like a week straight. I'm like, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Going to meet tonight? You want to go? He's like, who are you again? I'm like, yeah, I'm Mark. And so I call like 3 or 4 newcomers a week. You know, I don't think any of them are sober today. But at least for that 20 minutes, it kept me out of myself when I was talking to them. And I started doing odds and end jobs, trying to make money meet. And, you know, sooner or later, I kept, you know, go through this period of time. I found a job. Not a great one, not a bad one. You know, but it's something I knew how to do. And I worked there for about 6-8 months. It was a pretty good paying job, and I just didn't always like it. I came home, I'd be tired, and I didn't feel like doing much after that when I got home. And I was like, oh, you know, I keep doing this, and then, but I kept going to meetings. I got some new sponsees in Richmond I was working with, and, sponsoring people is not really that hard to do, because my opinions are the worst thing that I can have. Right? All my job is to take them through this big book, do the 12 steps, tell them to go to 4 meetings a week and go work with others. And when you do those things and you apply the principles in your affairs, most of the answers come to yourself. It's not sitting there going, what do you think I should do about this? Because my opinion wasn't good when I was drinking. It's not real good when I'm sober either. That's why I got a sponsor. And so I get a couple people to sponsor, and I stay busy. I got committed meetings in Richmond that I go to at night and got that worked out, and I got to know people. I'm doing all right. And then, I decided to change jobs again because I don't want to be in residential forever. I worked residential for many years, and once you get stuck in there, it's kind of tough to get out. And same thing, start doing this part-time. And part-time doesn't meet the bills. And I start getting off my head about money. I'm terrible. I get my head about money more than anything else. And so what my sponsor is, go to more meetings. You got nothing better to do. I'm working part-time, go to more meetings. I'm like, all right, so I go to more meetings. And I practice these principles at work. I show up early, I ask, what can I do to help out? If I make a mistake, I'm honest with people. I don't try to be a know-it-all. I go, look, I have no clue what I'm doing. How do you do this? And, 3 months later, they hired me full-time because I guess they like me. And I'll be back next year, which is kind of nice. And the biggest thing that's happened, though, is that in Richmond, is I keep going to my 4 or 5 meetings a week. Growing up, getting sober in Buckingham, it's a small community, and you kind of, we all kind of do the same thing. You get a great foundation. You go to Richmond, there's a lot of goof stuff there. There's a lot of stuff that's not AA. The only thing I know how to do is what's in this book. And, it's great. I had this meeting Saturday morning one time. And I just try to reach out to the newcomer. I hate reaching out to people. I'm not real social. And I reach out to this newcomer. I'm like, so how are you doing? He's like, doing all right. He's like, but my sponsor's leaving town for a couple weeks. I need someone to listen to my inventory. I'm like, all right, give me a call. Here's my number. I'm not expecting him to call me because you always give your number out and no one ever calls you. So it's like, I'm thinking, whatever, especially to listen to an inventory. No one volunteers for that, So I'm like, I'm never going to hear from the guy. 2 days later, he calls me. I'm like, it's like, yeah, listen to my inventory? I'm like, sure. Like, when do you want to do it? I'm like, I'll be over tomorrow night. I don't mind about being there from like 9 to midnight. I got to work. I got a wife and child. Nobody goes to listen to his inventory. And then he asked me to sponsor him. He's been sober almost a year now. And that's not because I'm a good guy. I'm attractive. It's because you people told me to go be helpful to other people. And when I have a solution, I'm not going to tell you what my opinion is. I'm going to say, let's go read the book and we'll go through it. Because it's a lot clearer than what I am. And, and I got to practice these principles on my affairs. We go to Richmond, we see a lot of people come and go. And, someone asked me, are you surprised? I say, no. I'm not surprised at all. If people want to stay sober, go to a lot of meetings and they do these steps. You don't have to do them perfect. I screw up all the time. I still don't like saying I'm wrong to my wife. I don't know why. Love her the most, but I hate I'm saying I'm wrong. Kind of blow it over, put it back on her a little. It's terrible. I forgot what I was talking about there, but that's all right. I'm talking about my lovely wife who likes to eat that. But, you got to practice principle of your affair. That's right. And people go back out all the time. Like, I'm not surprised. Because when they're not going to meetings and they're not doing these steps, what do you have? You have untreated alcoholism. How many times? There's so many times I just quit drinking and I got sober. And when I quit drinking and I got sober, I couldn't stand being sober. I start lying to people. I'm dishonest. I'm up in my head all the time. I'm not real happy about it. And I know if I just came to AA and I didn't do anything, I'm not going to last more than 4 or 5 months. What's the point? I can't stand being sober, And that's why I was glad I came here and I did this. And that's why, I told that person, I'm not surprised at all. And he starts looking around going, you're right, It's not a big mystery here who gets it or not. If you do this stuff, it works. And the hardest thing I've had to do is, probably being I'm wrong, get married. And, I was a bachelor for years. I'm good at being a bachelor. You can kind of be moody and isolate by yourself, and play Nintendo and fantasy football, right? Randy's husband, he likes that. He's addicted. And you get used to doing your own thing. I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I like to do my own stuff. I like being, it's like 20 minutes early to meetings. That's just the way I am. Sometimes a half hour. I just like being early. But when all of a sudden you're in a family, those kind of rules go out the window a little bit. And some days I do great, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. And other days I'm like, get your butt in the car, let's go. This is terrible. And I get all rigid, and I get all, you know, but you know, luckily it's not like I used to be. I'm sober, so I don't lash out like I used to, but I'm not always the nicest person. And nowhere in this book does, you know, that mean, you know, someone said they want to be happy all the time. And nowhere in this book it says you're going to be happy all the time. You know, that's not realistic. You know, once we get sober, you know, we're just kind of dealing with life on life's terms. The best thing I have about AA is that there's a solution to all my problems. You know, when I get mad at my wife and it's my fault, I know what I need to say. Well, it might take me a little while, but I know what I need to say. You know, I know how I should act and how I'm in my relationships and my family. And these are the principles I practice. When I practice these principles, all of a sudden my life gets better. And then I get lazy. And I was lazy a couple months ago. I start sitting there going, I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning, I'm, you know, it's not like I got time to sit around and do nothing. I'm like, psh, out the door. You know, making lunch, moving along, doing whatever I got to do. I forget that I'm supposed to pray and meditate in the morning. And I sit there and go, you know what? What's 5 minutes going to make a difference? I can do the quick, yeah, thank you, I'll do it. I'm like, I'll do it on the way to work. Yeah, really. And I sit there, what's the big deal? How much of a difference can it make? And at night, I mean to do it, and I just kind of forget, and I get tired, and I fall asleep watching the sports. And I'm like, what's the big deal? And all of a sudden, I start getting moodier. My patience gets a little bit shorter. I snap out a little bit more. My wife isn't like, you're changing. You know, what's going on with you? You're changing. I'm like, yeah, it's not me. We're short on money. That's what it is, you know. Can't be my fault. And so I talk to my sponsor. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you're praying though. I'm like, no, I don't got time. I'm busy. He's like, oh, okay. And he's like, you know, I go through periods of moodiness too. And he's like, you know, I try. Why don't you try reading something that's different in the morning? You know, if I get tired of reading the same thing, I read page 84 to 86, whatever it is, and kind of memorize it, you skim over it, and you kind of gloss through it after a while. And I just get bored real easily. And he's like, why don't you read something different? Try to think about that during the day. I'm like, all right, I don't think it's going to make any difference, though. You don't understand. Let me tell you, my changes. You know, I'm in a new house. We got a mortgage. I'm in a new, you know, relationship. I'm still new in my job. I'm new to Richmond still. I've changed everything in the last year and a half. I'm just settling in still. He's like, yeah, I understand. He's just like, well, why don't you try this for a couple of weeks and see what happens? And I'm still like, all right, yeah, but I'm really kind of busy, but I'll do it, you know. And I do it. I'm always people say I'll do something and not. I've just learned I can't be dishonest in AA after a while because it always catches up with me. I can't do it anymore. And so I do it. And all of a sudden, you know, I got a little more patience. You know, I'm not as irritable in the morning. Then there are days I still forget and I get irritable again. But all of a sudden this stuff works, you know. And it works because, you know what, it's not my solution. And my solutions have never worked. You know, I can start thinking, you know, that Merle, you're the real problem in my life, and I'll start Merle's Anonymous catching on. But Merle's not really my problem. My problem is I got a spiritual, you know, sickness. I need a spiritual solution to my problem. And my biggest problem is I don't know what a spiritual solution looks like. And so that's why I call my sponsor and he directs me into these steps and try to pray and meditate. When I do those things, all of a sudden my life gets better. And my life hasn't changed at all. Right? All it is that the way I react to my life is better. I can wake up one morning and I look over, I'm like, ah, I love my life. Greg, best family in the world. Oh, Alatot over there in the corner. Like, life is great. What more do we not? And next morning I wake up and I'm like, we haven't got enough money. Life sucks and it's not any good. What are we doing in Richmond? Maybe we should go back. You know, I just might, you know, my attitude changes. And the outside stays the same, just the way I react is different. And what I find out is that when I do these steps and I practice these things, you know, I react a little bit more consistently. Or when I wake up in the morning all moody, I don't take it out on people and I know what to do about it. You know, before it was, if I felt bad, so did you. I'm going to take it out on you. And I'm somehow going to make it your fault. And now I've learned, you know, keep your mouth shut. You know, why don't you go take some, you know, go to a meeting you're not supposed to. Call your sponsor. Reach out to someone in AA that you don't always talk to. I try to call 3 or 4 people a week. Not because I'm a good guy, but you know what? If I'm used to calling 3 or 4 people a week, telling them what's going on in my life, when things are bad, I'm still going to be calling them. And so I do that. And these are the same people I see in Richmond. That way, you know, when I see them in meetings, they can talk to me and know what's going on. And as a result of that, you know, my life gets better overall. You know, I, I've been sober a little while. I sponsor more people now than I've been, than I ever have. I'm busier at work than I ever have, you know, because I coach and I do school. And, you know, my life is busier than ever, but you know what? It's the best it's ever been, too, on a daily basis. Now, do I think that every day? No. You know, some days are great, some days are bad. But overall, my life is always getting better simply because I got some structure. I go to at least 4 meetings a week. And that way, when no matter how bad I screw up, I come back in here and I listen to what I'm supposed to be doing. And sooner or later, it's going to click in. You know, I'm a little hard-headed and I don't listen very well. And sooner or later, someone's going to say something. This is what you should be doing. Like, oh, yeah. But it all comes back to the fact that I knew I was alcoholic. If I don't honestly believe I'm alcoholic, I'm going to sit in meetings and be like, that's a great solution for you people, but I'm not like this. You don't quite understand me. You know, I know I'm alcoholic, I'm screwed up, and I'm left my own device, I'm going to get drunk and die. And that's why I need to come here and do this stuff, even when I don't want to. I'll tell you right now, half the time I'm in Richmond, I don't feel like going to the meetings. You know, once I go, I'm happy I went there and I enjoy being there, but half the time I don't feel like going because I'm busy. I'd just sit home and do nothing, you know. Taking classes online, you know, I'm not just sitting around doing nothing, I'm busy. But what I've had to do is commit to AA, and it's the only thing I've ever stuck with this long. Everything else, I kind of start. I'm a great starter, and I don't finish anything. In my garage right now is just a big pigsty. I started cleaning it up, and I haven't, you know, stopped somewhere in between. It's on one of the list of things to do. And you know, there's so many things I've started in my life and never finished. And it is the one thing I've stuck with this whole time. And you know, I've kept the same sponsor for better or for worse. He just works well with me. We've gone through our ups and downs, you know, but he's always been there for me. He knows me inside and out. And you know, most of the time he tells me the truth that I need to hear. And I'll pass with that. Thanks, Bill.